Thank you, Sister Bonnie. Thank you. Wow. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hot off the presses.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God's good, folks, all the time, right? All the time, God's good. Amen. Amen. Wow, that was good, Bonnie.
Praise the Lord.
Turn to in your Bible to Matthew chapter 12, if you want to. Thank you, Jesus. I have a subject I'd like to share, and it's going to take at least two Sundays to cover the topic, and it concerns the state of our heart. I entitled this Heart Issues, so we'll continue this again next week. We have part two next week. Amen?
Yes.
We're reading the scriptures over and over again that Jesus desires for his children to live the good life, to have an abundant life, and be free from any chains or bondages. So I want us just to begin today by setting our hearts free. Can we do that? Set our hearts free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 12, the last half of verse 34, says this: "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now go to Matthew chapter 15, if you will. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 16. And it says, "So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" Verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." And verse 20, "These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And then I want us to look at those same verses, 16 through 20, in the Message. If we can do that in the Message. Starting with verse 16. Jesus replied, "You too? Are you being willfully stupid?" Have you ever been willfully stupid, folks? Jesus' disciples were. Amen. "Don't you know that anything that is swallowed works its way through the intestines and is finally defecated? But what comes out of the mouth gets its start in the heart. It's from the heart that we vomit up evil arguments, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, lies, and cussing. That's what pollutes. Eating or not eating certain foods, washing or not washing your hands, that's neither here nor there." It's neither here nor there. So let's pray a minute and let's see what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your training and your the times that we've willfully been obedient to you, Lord. Thank you for those. Lord, open our minds up today and our spirits up to these words, and let us hear your voice Lord, if there's a place where we need to be obedient, reveal it to us, Lord. And give us the courage to step out and do what's right. Lord, we want that abundant life. We want that good life, Lord. We've asked you into our hearts to have it. So Lord, minister in this house today. And teach us and reveal to us your truth. And we give you praise and adoration. Holy Spirit, use me as your vessel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to begin this morning by talking about our physical hearts for a moment. Cardiologists use a procedure called an arteriogram to diagnose the health of a patient's heart and arteries. Some of you have had this procedure. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The arteriogram is an X-ray of the arteries and heart taken after the dye is injected into the bloodstream, allowing doctors to pinpoint blockages in the arteries which serve as conduits carrying blood from the heart to other parts of the body. But apart from an arteriogram, a life-threatening heart problem can go undetected for years. An individual who has blockage may experience some symptoms, but these symptoms may not appear to be directly associated with the heart. That's because our arterial blockage can manifest itself through back pain, inability to sleep, anxiety, loss of appetite, indigestion, nausea, vision change, and even a loss of memory. And these symptoms are often treated as isolated issues unrelated to the health of the heart. And using the appropriate medications, they will help provide some relief for these symptoms. The problem, of course, is that treating the symptoms may be masking the real culprits. And that, in turn, delays the treatment of the primary issue, thus leading to the worsening of the heart problem. Now, I want you to grasp this truth. Physical heart disease parallels spiritual heart disease. Not only do we possess a physical heart, but you and I possess a spiritual heart as well. And your spiritual heart refers to your heart that is the invisible part of you that philosophers, poets, and preachers refer to all the time. It's the part that got broken in the ninth grade when what's-her-name said she just wanted to be friends. It's the part of you that swells up with pride when you see your kids doing something amazing. The part of that gets all nostalgic when you hear an old song from your dating days. That mysterious, wonderful, confusing part of you that enables you to love, to laugh, to fear, and to experience life. And it's a major part of the sphere in which relationships happen and in which relationships are broken. Now, just as with our physical heart, we are tempted to treat the symptoms that stem from an unhealthy spiritual heart while ignoring the deeper issues. Now, I'd like you to say that again so you understand exactly what I'm saying. Just as with our physical heart, we are tempted to treat the symptoms that stem from an unhealthy spiritual heart while ignoring the deeper issues. But we must recognize that just like in the case of the physical heart, eventually the root problem of the spiritual heart will inevitably be revealed as the real problem. And just as physical heart disease has the potential to destroy your body, so spiritual heart disease has the potential to destroy you and your most valuable relationships. And over time, you can develop habits that slowly erode your heart's sensitivity. All of us experience the inevitable pain and disappointment of life. But too often we set up defenses and erect walls around our spiritual heart to protect it from further pain. But at the end of the day, in spite of our efforts, amen, in spite of our efforts, your heart can still get out of sync with the rhythm it was created to maintain. And if they're left alone, these heart attackers will linger for a lifetime and do incredible damage, robbing you from any abundant life. Now, the reason we rarely stop to monitor our spiritual hearts is that it was never encouraged in either our physical or spiritual training. As children, we were simply taught to always monitor our behavior instead. We monitor our behavior. If we behaved properly or correctly, good things would result. If we never considered what might be happening to our spiritual hearts. We always modified our behavior to avoid heart pain, and we've been doing it ever since. Consequently, we have become much better at monitoring our action and words than monitoring what is really in our hearts. We end up hiding true feelings and pretending. As with our physical heart, we can pretend nothing is wrong with our spiritual heart, but pretending simply allows us to ignore the true condition of our heart. Eventually, your heart, the real you, will outpace your attempts to monitor and filter everything you say and do. And the unresolved issues in your heart will eventually work their way to the surface, especially they that will seep into your words, your actions, your character, and your relationships. And if your heart continues to go unmonitored, things will worsen to the point that you are no longer able to contain it in those carefully managed words and behaviors. Maybe I'm talking to you and you've already noticed things getting to slip a little bit. Maybe you have always been able to control your anger, but lately there's a sharpness in your voice that scares even you. You know you should be happy about the positive things that happened to your friend, but for some reason you're not. In fact, you resent him for it. You behave like everything is okay, but it is not. These are merely symptoms of a deeper struggle. Your heart is under assault, and it could be that you are losing, primarily through neglect, because you have not been monitoring the health of your spiritual heart. Evidence that you're struggling with an internal battle includes statements like this: I can't believe I just said that. Oh no, did I just do that? That's not like me. Or later on in life, that's just the way I am. I just lost it. I don't know where that came from. So where did that mess come from? From your heart. Amen? Perhaps you believe that your mistake was just an exceptional slip-up, and in one way it was. It was an exception to your general rule of not allowing what is in your heart to be exposed to the rest of the world. But in reality, that embarrassing mistake was not an exception to what is in your heart. It was a reflection of what is in it. Amen? That mistake was not an exception. It was a reflection. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard someone say he's got a good heart? I hate to inform you, but that statement's wrong. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Who can know it? The people closest to you routinely catch the flak thrown off by the explosive response you work so hard to keep hidden. Perhaps it isn't noticed by casual acquaintances or in social settings, but folks, it may be evident to those close to you when you've turned off the safety valve and let down your defenses. It's why we often hurt the ones we love the most. We are mad, but we don't know why. We are discontent, but can't find any reason to feel that way. We're resentful toward certain people, even though they've done nothing to deserve it. We are jealous, even though it is foolish to dislike someone just because they have something we want. None of these things make any sense, but they're all real. They're all real. And if left unchecked, these actions have the potential to drive us into self-destructive and relationship-wrecking behavior patterns. Your heart seeps into every conversation. It dictates every relationship. It impacts the intensity of your communication. It exaggerates your sensitivities and insensitivities. Everything passes through your heart. In the English language, we have many idioms and a few which reveal just how sick the heart can get. A bleeding heart, a broken heart, pour your heart out, cry your heart out, eat your heart out, rip your heart out, a hard heart, a heart of stone, sick at heart. You wear your heart on your sleeve. People even make statements to describe the damage their heart has suffered. "I'll never let anyone hurt me like that again." The hurt, of course, resides in your heart. Listen, folks, what is in the heart will eventually make itself known. Out of the mouth pours the debris associated with a wounded heart. Consequently, hurt people hurt people. Yeah. Hurt people hurt people.
Very true.
In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Your mouth can serve as a stethoscope so that you can listen to your heart. I hope you heard that. Your mouth serves as a stethoscope so you can listen to your heart. Matthew 15, 19, it says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy." Blasphemy, the message called it cursing. Heart issues make intimacy difficult to maintain because intimacy revolves around knowing and being known. I'd like to say that again. Heart issues make intimacy difficult to maintain because intimacy revolves around knowing and being known. Amen? Secrets will damage the heart because they can cause us to build guarded walls in our relationship. And folks, so often, you and I will suspect in others what we are already guilty of ourselves. Sometimes unresolved hurts run so deep that they damage a person's faith in God. They question God, wondering how they can trust Him. How could God let that happen to them or someone they love? So how are things with your heart this morning? not your career or your family or your reputation or your finances. How are things with your heart? And that's an awkward question. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. We need more than a sophisticated filter for our behavior. We need a new heart. Christianity is not about behaving right, just having a Christian filter. It is about getting a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says it this way, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Praise God. That's what God does for Christians. Amen. Only God can give us a new heart. Only God can give us a new heart. And please note that that promise was to those who already had received God's list of the top 10 behaviors for living. Amen? The Ten Commandments. But clearly, it wasn't enough for them to know what to do. They needed a change from the inside out in order to follow through. Now, let's all just consider this. How long do you plan to let the people and circumstances that have hurt you control you? How long do you plan to let the people and circumstances that have hurt you control you? Pick a date. Don't just pray a prayer. Make a decision. How long will you let it go on? A day? A week? A month? A year? A decade? Until the day before you die? Examine yourself. Is everything okay with your heart? Are you angry at anybody? Are you waiting around for someone to come to you to make things right? Have you had any extended imaginary conversations with anyone lately? Do things come out of your mouth on a regular basis that you have to apologize for? Have you secretly celebrated someone's failure in the last several days? Do you have any secrets eating at you? Is there anything going on that you hope nobody ever discovers? Is there a question you hope nobody ever asks you? Have you lied recently to someone that you love? Do you have guilt? Or anger, or greed, or jealousy? We have learned to guard our behavior, but we have yet to learn how to monitor our hearts. That neglect gets us into trouble. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it sprang the issues of life." Again, we are tempted to treat the symptoms that stem from an unhealthy spiritual heart while ignoring the deeper issues. But as is the case with the physical heart, eventually the root problem will become the real problem. And just as a heart attack has the potential to destroy your body, so spiritual heart disease has the potential to destroy you and your best relationships. That which stays in the darkness will increase exponentially over time, finally breaking through whatever filter or barrier we have in place. Then we will eventually act in ways that others don't understand and develop habits that we don't understand. Now that we've established some understanding of how these heart attackers develop, let's dive into the four specific factors that attack our spiritual hearts. We'll get started on one topic today and probably finish up on the rest next week. Now listen, folks. Each one of these spiritual attackers cause an imbalance that will make us spiritually sick. This morning, I want to begin with guilt. Guilt. Guilt is a reality in all of our lives. And guilt will negatively affect our spiritual heart. Let's say right from the start that guilt should in no way be part of the culture of the New Testament church. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus didn't leverage guilt to manipulate people into following him, because only guilty people use guilt to control others. Jesus wasn't guilty. Guilt says, "I owe you." Guilt says, "I owe you." Now let's diagnose this spiritual heart attacker, and we'll have fun with it by calling it a code blue. Amen? A code blue. I believe all of us should understand that in order to have an exceptional relationship with another person, you must be truthful. Anyone who refrains from telling you the truth robs you of something important. When someone leaves their spouse or their family, they are depriving them from their intended future, their security, their self-esteem, etc. Guilt is simply that inner conviction that realizes, "I took something from someone else. I took something from someone else. I now owe you." And that feeling of guilt tends to manifest as a huge weight that we must carry. A huge weight. And unfortunately, we carry the unresolved guilt into all our other relationships. Guilt can become such a part of us that we don't even recognize it. Amen? And underneath that guilt is an emotional anger that we use to rage against ourselves. I let me down. I let me down. And the only way I can excuse myself for not living up to my expectations is to never allow you to live up to my expectations. That's why it's almost impossible to please a guilty person. Almost impossible. Since I disappointed me, I must now decide how you have disappointed me as well. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it?
A little bit.
But I can't change it. Yes, you can. Because guilt grows in the darkness, but it is dissipated by the light. Amen? Guilt grows in the darkness, but it is dissipated by the light. Now, listen to me. Open confession breaks the power of guilt. Open confession breaks the power of guilt. The Bible has far more to say about confessing to other people than it does confessing to God. God already knows. To rid yourself of guilt, you must not only go to God, but you must go to the person you offended. Numbers chapter 5, verse 6 through 7 in the NIV says this: "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and is so unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution of his wrong, add one-fifth to it, and give it all to the person he has wronged. In Luke chapter 19, verse 8 and 9, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham." Now, listen to me and listen to me good. That's what I always said to my kids. Listen to me and listen to me good. Our relationship with God hinges a lot on our relationship with others.
Yep.
Our relationship with God hinges a lot on our relationship with others. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, it says this, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." You cannot resolve your differences with God if you're unwilling to resolve your differences with the others. It is extremely difficult to be in fellowship with God and out of fellowship with others. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, it says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" Verse 21, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." I usually don't preach a message like this, but God has put this on my heart for all of us, in my heart. Now let's remedy this particular problem and restore our hearts. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The goal of confession isn't simply to clear your conscience. The goal is a changed life. The goal is a changed life. You truly live from your heart. So you have to shine God's spotlight on his hidden secrets to cure the disease of guilt. Confessing secretly to God is no substitute for confessing openly to someone you have wronged. They are both necessary. If you only confess your sins to God, you have a tendency to repeat them because your confession hasn't changed you. And obviously you didn't steal something from God, you stole from them. "But my life is far too complicated. I didn't cheat on a test in school, I cheated on my marriage." Do you know how much it will hurt them to make that confession? Confession doesn't hurt people. Concealment hurts people. Confession doesn't hurt people. Concealment hurts people. They already know something is wrong. And in the meantime, when you don't deal with it, your heart is rotting away. This fear of consequences is why we see last-minute deathbed confessions. But what a tragedy that people live their whole lives under the burden of such a terrible, terrible weight. When you confess, your outside world may become momentarily far more complicated, but your internal world will be set free. Amen? You will be set free. When you sincerely confess your failures, you will be able to accept others with their failures because their failures won't constantly remind you of your own. Hallelujah. Just think, you will finally be able to forgive yourself. You will be free. You will be free. The penalty for our sin has been dealt with once and for all. But the consequences of our sins are an entirely different matter altogether. The same Bible that assures us of God's forgiveness also teaches us that His forgiveness does not erase our need to take responsibility for what we have done. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, open confession breaks the power of guilt. Open confession breaks the power of guilt. In addition, others may very well be held hostage to bitterness and anger over what you've done to them. You're kidding yourself if you think everyone you have wronged has simply forgiven you and gone on with their life. Of course, that's what they ought to do. But you need to ask yourself the question, have I done what I ought to do? Amen? If you really want to understand the power of confession, turn it around and put yourself on the receiving end of this. Whose apology do you most desire and at least expect? Who is it that seems completely insensitive to the trouble or hurt that caused you? Imagine how you would feel if you got a surprise visit from that person. How would you feel if that individual walked in, sat down, and took full responsibility for what he or she has done? Imagine what might transpire in your heart if, with a sincere humility, that person offered to do anything within his or her power to make restitution for what had been taken from you. You would never be the same. You would never be the same. Likewise, your words of confession may bring healing to a wounded soul. So folks, how are things in your heart? How are things in your heart? It may be time to rid yourself of some guilt and free yourself from some pain. Talk to the Father. He will take your hand and walk you through it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's send out a cold blue because of our guilt. Cold blue. And then let's do something about it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want us to stand together. We're going to sing the song Bonnie sang earlier, Love Like I'm Leaving. Now, listen to these words in this song. I'm going to mend a few fences. I'm going to go the extra mile. Lend a hand where it's needed. Sit down and talk for a while. Take a stroll on a Sunday, a long walk in the park. I'm not going to miss one thing on the list when it comes to my heart. Hallelujah. Don't be mad at me, folks. I'm only the messenger. Hallelujah. Come on. It's a message we need to hear, though. It's a message that needs to change us. It's a message we need to take to the Lord and evaluate ourselves. Is there somebody we need to talk to? Is there somebody we need to set things right with? Amen? Can we do that?
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Lee. Y'all help me now.
I'm gonna love like I'm leaving, give more than I'm receiving, laugh until it takes my breath away. I'm gonna say what needs saying, pray what needs praying, I'm gonna love like I'm leaving today. Spend a little more time.
potatoes done. Gonna dance in the sun and soak it all in. I'm gonna love like I'm leaving. Give more than I'm receiving. Laugh until it takes my breath away. I'm gonna say what needs saying. Pray what needs praying. I'm gonna love like I'm leaving today. Gonna mend a few fences. Go the extra mile. Let a hand where it's needed. Sit down and talk for a while. Take a stroll on a Sunday. A long walk in the park. I'm not gonna miss one thing on the list when it comes to my heart. I'm gonna love like I'm leaving. Give more than I'm receiving. Laugh until it takes my breath away. I'm gonna say what needs saying. Pray what needs praying. I'm gonna love like I'm leaving today. I'm gonna love like I'm leaving. Give more than I'm receiving. Laugh until it takes my breath away.
Lift each one of us to you. Lord, show us if there are deficiencies in our heart, if there's cracks or broken spots in our heart, Lord God. Show us what we need to do to mend our hearts, Lord. We want to have the abundant life that you freely give. Lord, if there's things that drive us nuts, show us those things. If there's things that are tearing at us, show us those things. If there's things that are not in the right place, show us those things and how we can heal that part of our heart, Lord. And we thank you for your ministry to each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. I love you all. Amen.
Good stuff.
God bless you. God bless you.